Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salatu wassalamu ala Nabina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And today we have reached the final hadith of this great collection, hadith 42, O son of Adam, as long as you call on me.
Al-hadith الثاني والأربعون عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي يا ابن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك يا ابن آدم إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح.
On the authority of Anas رضي الله عنه, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah تبارك وتعالى said, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done and I do not mind. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky and then you would seek my forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins that are close to filling the earth and you would then meet me without ascribing partners with me, I would certainly also bring to you forgiveness close to filling it, meaning the earth. Recorded by At-Tirmidhi, and he said it is a Hasan Sahih hadith. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith demonstrates and shows us Allah's great forgiveness and mercy, so that no one should despair and feel hopeless due to the great number of sins he has committed. For Allah's forgiveness and mercy is great. So this hadith teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters, that if we come with tawheed and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness and have hope in Him, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So in the first part of the hadith, in this hadith al-Qudsi,
قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَبْنَ آدَمْ
Allah, the Blessed and Most High, said, O son of Adam. So this is a call, my dear brothers and sisters, to every human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, He is calling out to all humans with a call of forgiveness and mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive. My dear brothers and sisters, neither the committing of sins by humans nor the forgiving of sins by Allah harms Allah in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed mercy for Himself and He is ready to shower His grace and blessings upon all humans. However, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only showers His forgiveness upon those who have performed the causes that lead to it, those who continue to call on Him and put their hope in Him while not associating partners with Him, as this hadith tells us. My dear brothers and sisters, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask much of us. He does not ask much of His slaves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The least that He asks is that one believe in Him and not associate any partner with Him. He has made His signs clear, such that no one should disbelieve in Him or associate partners with Him. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created humans with a fitrah, an innate nature that recognizes Allah's existence and uniqueness. So He asks from us to worship Him alone, tawheed, and not associate partners with Him, to avoid shirk in all of its types. And in return, my dear brothers and sisters, He subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us forgiveness and Jannah, paradise. We ask Allah to make us from its people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, O son of Adam,
إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي
As long as you call upon me, meaning as long as you make dua to me. And dua linguistically, my dear brothers and sisters, which has been translated here as call upon, may be defined as the act of seeking, desiring, asking, or demanding. Now, as for the Sharia definition, as some of the ulama have said, that dua is calling upon Allah for some good that one wants, or for the repelling of some harm or trial. Supplications are a means or cause for what one has requested. Finally, supplications bring about the mercy of Allah and repel His anger in a manner similar to a shield repelling a spear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ghafir, ayah 60,
وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ.
And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Surely those who are too proud to worship me will enter hellfire, fully humbled or fully humiliated. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Supplication or dua is the essence of worship, as is found in a Tirmidhi and has been graded sahih according to Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah in Sahih al-Jami'. So my dear brothers and sisters, dua has much virtues and is very important, but it also has conditions and requirements that we should meet when calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those conditions or requirements, my dear brothers and sisters, is that the heart, when calling upon Allah, should be attentive and conscious of what it is saying. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, supplicate Allah while you are certain of a response, and know that Allah does not respond to a supplication from a heart that is heedless and inattentive. And this hadith is found in At-Tirmidhi, and it is Hassan according to Shaykh al-Albani, as he has mentioned in Sahih al-Jami'. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, when supplicating, we must be decisive in our request, and we must supplicate with seriousness and sincerity. There should be no wavering or doubt in our hearts when supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if one of you supplicates, do not say, Allahumma ghfirli in shi'ta, O Allah, forgive me if you will. But instead, you should ask with will and conviction, for there is nothing so great to Allah that He cannot grant it. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, when supplicating and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for forgiveness, we should sincerely demonstrate our dire need for Allah and submission to Him, as well as having hope in receiving the desired response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when doing so, the mercy and forgiveness of Allah is close at hand. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and invoke Him in fear and aspiration. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of good. This ayah is found in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 56. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, another important aspect of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to become hasty and stop our dua because the hoped for response has not come as soon as we wished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you are responded to as long as you do not become hasty and say, I supplicated and it is not being or was not responded to, as is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, as we discussed when we discussed hadith number 10, when supplicating, if we really want our supplications to be responded to, it is important that we ensure that we are living off halal, permissible and good sources, and refraining from the haram. And as we said, we discussed this in hadith number 10. Now, the next part of the hadith,
إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي,
as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me. Now, putting one's hope in Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fear His punishment, but at the same time, we hope for His forgiveness. It is to hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while fearing His greatness and power. A believer, my dear brothers and sisters, should always have good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that Allah has said, I am as my servant expects of me. I am with him whenever he remembers me. By Allah, Allah has more joy due to the repentance of His servant than one of you has when he finds his lost provisions in an open land. Allah has also said, "Whoever comes close to me by the span of a hand, I come closer to him by a cubit. And whoever comes closer to me by a cubit, I come closer to him by an arm's length. And if he walks toward me, I rush toward him." This hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, at the time of one's death, our good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should increase. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just 3 days before his own death, "None of you should die except while he is having good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the greatest sins is to have despair or to feel hopeless of Allah's mercy and forgiveness and not to have any hope in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, quoting Ya'qub alayhi salam,
"إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون."
Indeed, no one despairs of the relief from Allah except the disbelieving people. And this ayah is found in Surah Yusuf, ayah 87. The next part of the hadith,
إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي.
As long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done and I do not mind. So my dear brothers and sisters, if we supplicate to Allah and have hope in Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and He will not mind in doing so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Say, O my servants who have transgressed against their own souls, despair not the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly He is oft forgiving, most merciful. And this ayah is in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 53. So my dear brothers and sisters, this forgiveness is the result of the person supplicating to Allah and maintaining hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these acts, my dear brothers and sisters, are acts of worship. And the result of these acts is Allah's willingness to forgive the servant for the sins that he has committed. The next part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters.
يبن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك.
O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky and then you would seek my forgiveness, I would forgive you. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers and sisters, no matter how great your sins are, no matter how many sins you have committed, they can never be greater than the potential forgiveness and mercy of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Al-Ghafoor. They can never be greater than the forgiveness and mercy of the Compassionate One, the Merciful, the Forgiving. Ibn Rajab Rahimahullah, he quotes the lines of a poet who said, "O Lord, even if the number of sins becomes great, I certainly know that your forgiveness is greater. If only the doers of good can put their hope in you, to whom else could the sinner supplicate and put his hope? I have no means of approach to you except hope and your beautiful forgiveness, and then the fact that I am Muslim." Now, my dear brothers and sisters, regarding seeking forgiveness or istighfar, which is derived from the word ghafara, and this root implies the clothing that one wears to protect oneself from dirt, filth, or harm. So for example, a warrior wears a mighfar on his head, which is like a heavy helmet, in order to protect himself from the harm of spears, swords, and so on and so forth. So the meaning of forgiveness, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Allah covers one's faults, removes one's sins, and does not punish the person in the hereafter. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the most important things that a person can ask of Allah after asking to be guided to the Haqq, to the truth, to Islam, is to ask forgiveness for one's sins and related matters, such as being rescued from the fire. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has told us dua is about. So my dear brothers and sisters, when one sins and then sincerely turns to Allah, seeking His forgiveness, one will find Allah ready to accept his repentance and to forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, whoever does a wrong or wrongs himself, but then seeks forgiveness from Allah, he will find Allah forgiving and merciful. And this ayah is found in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 110. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, as is found in Bukhari and Muslim, a slave committed a sin and said, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi, O Lord, I have committed a sin, so forgive me. The Lord said, my slave knows he has a Lord who forgives sins, therefore I have forgiven my slave. Then he committed another sin and said, O Lord, I have committed another sin, so forgive me. His Lord says, my slave knows that he has a Lord who forgives, therefore I have forgiven him. And on the third or fourth occurrence, Allah says, اعمل ما شئت فقد غفرت لك. He may do whatever he wishes, for I have forgiven him. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we mentioned when we discuss Hadith 18, that as long as a person is in that state, Allah will forgive him. If every time he commits a sin, he feels remorse and turns to Allah to forgive him, without having the intention to continue performing that sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be willing to forgive him. And this shows us, my dear brothers and sisters, the great forgiveness of Allah and His pleasure with His servants when they seek His forgiveness. We ask Allah to forgive us and have mercy upon us. Moving on to the final part of the hadith.
يا ابن آدم إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة.
O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins that are close to filling the earth, and you would then meet me without ascribing any partners with me, I would certainly also bring to you forgiveness close to filling it, meaning to filling the earth. My dear brothers and sisters, this part of the hadith implies that forgiveness will only come to those who meet Allah while adhering to Tawheed. So the key to forgiveness, my dear brothers and sisters, is adhering to Tawheed and avoiding all forms of shirk. Whoever is missing this key will not achieve Allah's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with Him in worship, but He forgives whatever is less than that for whoever He wills, and whoever sets up partners with Allah has indeed invented a tremendous sin. And this is found in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 48. So my dear brothers and sisters, due to the light of Tawheed, sins melt away. If one fulfills the obligations of Tawheed, they will overcome all of his sins, and in the hereafter, he'll be entered into paradise without any punishment whatsoever. But if a person has some shortcomings in fulfilling the obligations of Tawheed and comes to Allah with virtually the earth full of sins, the effect of Tawheed is so great that all of their sins may be forgiven by Allah. Due to adherence to Tawheed and avoidance of shirk, Allah may forgive the person or He may punish him for some time in the hereafter, thereby removing those sins for him and then enter him into Jannah, into paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever says there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and his heart contains a grain of barley's weight of good, shall exit the fire. Whoever says there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and his heart contains a grain of wheat's weight of good shall exit from the fire. Whoever says there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and his heart contains a mustard seed's weight of good, shall exit from the fire. And this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. However, my dear brothers and sisters, if a person has shirk, then none of those sins will be forgiven, and in the hereafter, he will be in hellfire forever, as the ayat we mentioned previously indicate. All the worldly deeds of those who associate their partners with Allah will be worthless, because none of them can be considered truly for the sake of Allah, since such people never accepted the true faith or belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes what will be done in the hereafter to their deeds, where he says,
وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا.
And we'll approach what they have done of deeds and make them as scattered dust, meaning worthless, as is found in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 23. So my dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, we learn from this hadith that the means or causes of forgiveness are three. One, supplicating to Allah whilst having hope in Him. Two, asking Allah for forgiveness and repenting to Him. And three, adhering to Tawheed, to the true worship of Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn from this hadith that no matter how great or how many a believer's sins may be, Allah's forgiveness and mercy is greater and can encompass them all. Therefore, we should never fall into despair and always seek Allah's forgiveness and mercy. Also, we learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, the act of forgiving on Allah's part does not harm Allah in any way. Hence, one should earnestly seek His forgiveness and mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, with the conclusion of this reading or brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, we'd like to mention some of the books we benefited from when presenting this brief explanation. Now, the main commentaries we benefited from in Arabic was the explanation of a 40 hadith by Ibn Rajab rahimahullah. Also, we benefited from the commentaries of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and also Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. And from the English commentaries, the two commentaries we benefited from greatly, first and foremost and mainly, was the commentary on the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi by Jamal Ad-Din Zarabozo hafidhahullah, and also by Dr. Jamal Ahmed Badi. May Allah reward generously and greatly all these authors and have mercy on those of them who have passed away. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, we thank Allah. Through His favors and blessings, good deeds are completed. We thank Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for allowing us to complete this collection of hadith. And finally, we ask Him to allow us to have proper understanding and implement what we have studied. Barakallahu feekum. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.